Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now. Time for a very walking chained edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass to your friends and which games to, I don't know much about Chained Echo, so I'm gonna say hit that X button or B and walk on by, since I played a walking
simulator. You're not wrong.
I am Corey. I'm joined by the RPG man himself. I don't mean rocket propelled grenade, I mean role-playing game Basher.
Bro, you want to start a campaign? Let's do it.
I think I have to like put that in. Yeah, like just like randomly. That's got to be like in the episode somewhere. Just like a quick little bloop. Anyways. Chained Echoes, The Walking Dead, the final season. This is a dual episode. Basher, oddly, you know, for someone who hates these callbacks, you know, I'm getting tired of your hypocrisy. You hate walking sims, you hate games that aren't games, yet you fought for immortality last year, and now you played a love letter to the 16-bit SNES RPG extravaganza called Chained Echoes. What's going on over there?
It goes to show you, at the end of the day, I'm simply the most informed and objective reviewer of all time. Top five DOA.
There you go. We're going to start with Chained Echoes and Basher, and then we're going to end with The Walking Dead final season. Here are the details for Chained Echoes. But before that, did you know that you can leave us a review on your favorite podcasting service, whether it's iTunes, whether it's Spotify? They help out. They really do. The more people that rate, the more people see us, the more people that can share the Game Pass love. iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, those are the big ones. Apple Podcasts, whichever you want to call it. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. I check it every week to see if anyone's left us a review. So the person that still hates us for passing on Remnant from the Ashes, you know, you're wrong.
I mean, you jokingly bring it up. I'm never going to not remember that. Like, that is just, like, of all the games, like, not even, I expect that when I don't like Tunic, you know, like it's Tunic. It's everyone loves it. It makes sense. Remnant from the Ashes. See, really?
The thing is that we also didn't hate the game. It was particularly the Xbox version, and it was kind of janky and broken. And when it came to multiplayer, there was that annoying delay. Like, I actually really liked that game. Like, I was surprised how much I liked that game. If it would have been ironed out, I think I would have fought to recommend it, but there was too many issues with the actual code and not the game itself. Remnant 2?
Don't forget that end boss fight.
And the end boss fight's really bad. Didn't enjoy that either. But still, Remnant 2, I'm looking forward to it. It's just funny because it's just very upset. Right. Chained Echoes. Here are the details. That is The Walking Dead. Chained Echoes is a story-driven JRPG where a group of heroes travel around the vast continent of Volandis to bring an end to the war between its three kingdoms. In the course of their journey, they will travel through a wide array of diverse landscapes spanning from Wintan plateaus.
Windam.
Windam. And exotic archipelagos. Archipelagos. Yep. Exotic archipelagos to sunken cities and forgotten dungeons. Take your sword, channel your magic, or board your mech. Chained Echoes is a 16-bit SNES-style RPG set in a fantasy world where the dragons are as common as piloted mechanical suits. Follow a group of heroes as they explore a land filled to the brim with charming characters, fantastic landscapes, and vicious foes. Can you bring peace to a continent where war has been waged for generations and betrayal lurks around every corner? This game was supported by the film and
media. Spoiler alert, yes, you can.
NRW, whatever that is. Playable on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. Does feature achievements on the Xbox as well as PC. Has cloud saves for cross save. Main story clocks in around 29 hours with a completionist of 54 hours. Chained Echoes. All right, Mr. Hypocrisy. Tell me what. How did you discover this game? Why did you play this game? Why did you tell me that you wanted to talk about Chained Echoes?
All right, first, let me try to remember why. First, let me try to remember why I even played this game. All right, so I saw the cover art. I'm like, that looks weeby. That looks pretty weeby. Then I saw the screenshots. I'm like, oh, that's where we're going. That's weebo for sure. I booted it up, and it was a more serious tone. Let's call it more mature tone. And it hooked me as soon as it had the main hero accidentally kill like a million people. It was great. I'm like, okay, all right, I'm on board. Let's see where this story goes. But before we see where this story goes, and it's going to really hinge on the gameplay for me, because initially it looks like a lot of those RPG Maker type games, and honestly it's not far off in terms of what people are making now when it comes to these love letters to the 16-bit era. But I think what people forget or don't do well is, and I said this before about these love letters and these throwbacks, they want to make Ninja Gaiden again. They want to make Final Fantasy again. They want to make the same game you've already played just again. They don't do the thing that makes those games special in their own right. I think what Chained Echoes does for me is it takes what would have been a 16-bit era game and builds it in a way where it's made for 2023 or 2022 when it came out. It takes all those aspects of, it takes that fast, it takes, it's going to sound a little backwards, but it takes that fast turn-based mechanic and cuts out all the fat. So it's action-based, turn-based combat, but it's not boring at all. Because a lot of those 16-bit era games, they play very slow, but these fights don't play out slow. Like you'll know if you're going to win or lose a fight pretty quickly, and you know if you can turn it around pretty quickly. These fights don't drag on, no matter how kind of overpowered or underpowered you are.
Well,
Go ahead.
So, what's the combat like? Like, because I have not even seen a trailer for this game. So when I look at it, I'm getting like a Chrono Trigger over like Final Fantasy vibe. Is that correct?
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Yeah. The combat's more Chrono Trigger, I guess, because it's fast paced. You have your character's actions are based, or the timing of the actions are based on their agility and speed. So you can have a character attack quite often before an enemy makes their first or second attacks. And the combat isn't even super deep like a tactics game where you can combine all these different sort of moves. It's really just, it takes the basics and just simply expands on them. So it's not, they're not shooting for the moon here, which is crazy to think about because this entire game ends up shooting for the moon. This is a 50, 60 hour game.
Yeah, I think, what did I say? It's like 40, 30 hours at the main story, but completions, yeah, 54. So,
yeah, it is a ton of stuff you can do in this game. There's a lot of places you can go revisit. It, for me, to answer your question, and what separates it from other games of its ilk, it takes all of the great parts of those games from before and just cuts out the fat and just keeps in the cool parts. It keeps in the fast gameplay. It keeps in the deep character moments because there's like, this is as much a character study as it is just a really well-told story. And that's what really kind of threw me off in a good way, because the characters in this game are actual characters. They take the archetypal characters and they make big moments out of them. They make small moments out of them. Like, there's a lot of times where you're just talking to characters talking one-on-one and you're getting this deep, interesting lore. And it's very Final Fantasy VI-like when I think about it. And then when that's done, they say, all right, it's time to fight. Here's a few mechs. And it's like, not a mech fight. It's, they smartly just take all the cool parts and just gets rid of all the boring parts. And I think that's as simple as I could put it in terms of what makes this game a better love letter than a lot of the other games.
Yeah, and that's kind of my issue. I don't want to say issue, but like, that's usually where these games lose me, is that I respect those original Final Fantasy games, but like, we've just come so far. And it's, I look at Final Fantasy 15, Final Fantasy 13, Final Fantasy 7 are of just like, they've sort of, I won't say figured out, but they've started moving away from turn-based stuff and kind of giving you more direct control over everything. And that's kind of what Chrono Trigger did originally, right? It was like a different take on the turn-based system. And I think that's one reason why so many people like it, is because they're just like, I want to do more than just press A, you know, like, I don't want to just select things on a menu. And so a lot of those, you know, those love letters to Final Fantasy VI and stuff, I'm like, that's great, but I want more direct control. Like, I really am that person. And so this kind of seems like it's kind of made in that vein of like Final Fantasy VII R, of like, we're going to take those gameplay mechanics, but we're going to modernize them while still sort of playing like the original, but not really.
Right. Again, the key thing for me is, don't remake what I already played. Don't stick so hard to what came out before it that I'm just playing what came out before this. This is something that feels like you couldn't really do it back then, but at the same time, it's just, it makes a lot of references to the things that came before it. And I can't emphasize enough how impressed I was at how well told of a story this was. I really thought it was going to be a basic save the world story, but they throw in a lot of twists and turns. And by they, I mean like the one guy. Like this game is made by, I think, three people at the most. One guy did the majority of the heavy lifting, but then like the music and stuff is done by other people. And that's the other thing. The music slams in this too. Like, they put in, whoever made this game just really understood what makes these games great, what makes these games fun, and also what makes these games fast. Like, there's really no fat in this game. They just cut out all the bull crap and they just stick to, what did I like about Final Fantasy VI? What did I like about Xenogears? What did I like about Phantasy Star? I just put those moments in the game. And by doing that, you make these 50, 60 hours kind of blow past.
Interesting. So it's kind of, to me, it sounds a lot more closer to like the Messenger, which isn't quite the same idea, but that's, I think that's why that game resonated with a lot of people, because it took Ninja Gaiden, but it also took Castlevania, and it sort of combined the two. And like, that game is fast, but there's so many different things, and then it kind of turns into a Metroidvania halfway through. And because it doesn't spend its whole time being a Metroidvania, it kind of hits those dopamine, you know, hits that you like about the Metroidvania. It's like, oh, like I came back here and I get to do this thing again. Like, but before I saw this path and I couldn't do it. But then it's also got like the time flipping mechanic that some of the Castlevania games had. So, and like you said, the music of that game is just, it's so good. So it sounds more akin to that of where they took the elements that they really liked instead of just mimicking those games. It like, what if we just took the things that everybody likes and made a game about it? So.
No, it really is. And it's just chock full of all the RPG things you want to do. It has the optional secret boss that takes a million things to unlock. Hardest boss in the game. It has the secret weapons. It has the secret characters. It has all these things. And again, the gameplay is so refined and simple and fun that you're not skipping through fights. And that's something that happens in a lot of these games, right, just in general, where, I mean, honestly, I'm thinking what comes to mind is the last Zelda game. Like, you stop fighting things after a while. Like,
yeah,
like, a lot of these games, you stop fighting.
Like, I'm at this point in the game where, like, okay, like I've seen everything that it has to have to offer in this. I'm trying to see what this other part that it has to offer, or I'm trying to get enough hearts to get the Master Sword. Like,
exactly. But like this game is challenging to the very end, and if you do feel overpowered, there are other challenges to be had. It is really, again, it's the 16-bit era love letter to a game, to an era rather, that takes all the fun parts, cuts out the fat, and just keeps you with a story that is super compelling, characters that are actually funny, and the banter between them is actually seems real most of the time. There are some moments there that's kind of stiff, but with the gameplay that you really actually want to engage in, I mean, it's quite easily the best RPG of the year for me.
Well, there you go. It's gonna be it's early, but this sounds like it might be a runner for the GOTY. So I'm probably gonna have to at least put some hours into this at some time. So easy enough to say. It sounds like you're gonna pass it on.
Absolutely.
One question: why is it rated M?
Probably content, because again, it's a mature story, so we're dealing with.
Does it earn the M? Yeah, is that a better question?
Right. It earns the M if you're a person who's really worried about trigger warnings. Because there are some, what do you call it, sensitive issues that certain characters go through. But other than that, like, there's no, I mean, it's 16-bit. You can't do graphic. You can't do graphic horror stuff.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's pixels. Like, nothing excessive. It only comes into tone in certain character plots.
Well, there you have it. So we're going to pivot now to The Walking Dead, the final season. Let me pull up the details for this one. So we already know how Basher feels about every walking simulator ever made. He hates them all with a passion. So, however, that being said,
I'm not going to fight you with that. So whatever, like, let's keep it rolling.
Telltale Games. I'm sure you probably know about this one already, but I'm going to tell my little story about it. But so here's the details about this one, developed by Telltale Games, playable on Xbox Series X and S, as well as Xbox One. This is a Xbox One game. This does not have Series X and S native support. Let's see here. It doesn't have cross saves either, so that kind of sucks. So if you are, I guess if you really want the achievements twice, you could play both of them. But Clementine, now a fierce and capable survivor, has reached the final chapter in her journey. After years on the road facing threats both living and dead, a secluded school might finally be her chance for a home. But protecting it will mean sacrifice. Clem must build a life and become a leader while still watching over AJ, an orphaned boy and the closest thing to a family she has left. In this gripping and emotional final season, you will define your relationships, fight the undead, and determine how Clementine's story ends. includes access to all four episodes, in case you didn't know. So I'm not going to go into super deep about, you know, this is like the fifth or sixth game technically, because there was the originals, like there's like the three seasons, and then there's Walking Dead Michonne, and then there's like 400 Days or whatever they called it. So there's a lot of Walking Dead. I've played all of it. Now I believe you've played the original, right? I think everyone's played the original at some point.
Yeah, I played the original, and then I tried playing through like one of the sequels, like when it first came out, and then I think by the time I got around to maybe the second or third one, I was already well aware of the Telltale style of game.
Right.
So I was kind of like, okay, I don't need to finish this or play too many hours of it.
Yeah, I have played a lot of the Telltale games. Like, I've played the Batman. I've played The Walking Dead, obviously. There's another one I played. I can't remember. I played, what's the one based on Fables? Can't remember the name. Wolf Among Us, is that right? I've not played all of them. Like, I didn't play Guardians of the Galaxy. I didn't play Jurassic Park. I didn't play Game of Thrones. But so I played enough that I have enjoyed what I've played for the most part. Like, these games are hit or miss for me. My biggest issue a lot of times was with engine support. You know, it's like that. Like, the games would break. And I even had instances where I remember in the Batman to where, like, my choices just didn't match. Like, when I would go to the next chapter, if you want to call it, it's like it didn't pick the right choice in my save file. So stuff like that can be really discouraging. Now, the whole drama that happened with The Walking Dead final season was that it got put out and then Telltale got closed and then it went off sale. And then so all these things happened. So I still I liked that original Walking Dead season. I thought it was good. I did not like gush over it the way other people did, but I enjoyed it. It was cool. It was kind of like a new adventure. Like, this was a 360 game, remember? Like, it's been that long since this has happened. So, but where I sort of fell off was season two. I did not like The Walking Dead season two. I think the Michonne story was okay, and I think the 400 Days one was okay as well. So I wouldn't say like I was completely put off from it, but when that final season came out, I was like, I'll wait for a sale. But then that drama happened, so I never got to it. This game actually came out a while ago, but it's now since been republished and all that. So it's been quite a bit of time since I've played it, and I didn't remember everything, but yeah.
My question then is, as someone who really liked the first one, but didn't so much the next ones, what was the reason, considering it's not like going from Mass Effect 1 to Mass Effect 2 or 3,
right?
You know? Gameplay-wise, it's not much they can do, or have done, in my opinion. So what was the main factors of the drop-off in quality for you?
I think in particular with the main storyline, which is the Clementine storyline, originally,
such a good storyline, by the way.
It's playing as Lee in the original Walking Dead. I guess spoiler for the original Walking Dead. I'm not going to spoil everything in the final season, but I'm going to talk about some things. When Lee dies, it sort of takes that story as the player. Like, even though Lee was an established character, you got to sort of kind of craft a little bit of who you wanted him to be. And then the second season, you're playing as Clementine. You're playing as a younger girl. And it, in what should have been an interesting way to sort of put yourself in this character, I just don't think they ever took advantage of that, because they still wanted to, like, quote, make your choices matter and do everything that a Telltale game does, but also playing as this character that needs to grow and prosper. It's an extremely hard thing to do. And I think that's where they have fallen off with a lot of their games, is just that unless you're playing as a silent protagonist or a character that you can sort of create and make your own story, you're going to come across situations in these stories that either you don't like any of the choices, or sometimes the choices might not make sense with how your story is playing out. And that was kind of where The Walking Dead season two, I remember particularly, there was just like a couple of the choices I was like, I think these all suck. Like, And it's not a situation where it's like, well, I have to make a crappy decision here, like, but that's life. It was like, I just don't think a lot of these make sense. And the biggest factor was, is I was playing as a young girl, and it was such a departure from that original season. So that first.
So where did they drop the ball in terms of that, of Clementine's growth then? Like, did it just not go the way you wanted it to go, or did it go in a way that was that you seemed unrealistic?
It was more that the original Walking Dead, you're sort of a father figure to Clementine, and you sort of craft a, you know, you craft that story that the Walking Dead can tell, which is a child living in a world that is so different, that doesn't understand what the world used to be, or and you have to have this knowledge that they're going to be growing up completely different because the world is now completely different and it's been taken over by the zombies, etc. And then the second one is more just about drama. Like, none of that drama really, it's not about the Walking Dead anymore. It's like, yeah, we're in a situation, but it's more about the people drama, but it's just drama. It's not, I feel like it's never taken into consideration that this is a little girl that is living in this world and having to grow up in this world. And that's removing the father figure out of it. It was totally fine, but it was just fine. There was nothing particularly that stood out about it. Does that answer your question, I guess?
That does answer the question, because again, as someone who kind of bounced off the first one, I'm sorry, the second or third one pretty quickly, I was always curious. That was sort of the consensus, even at the time, was it's not as good as the first one. And I thought it was simply just the story, because I just didn't feel a difference in gameplay at the time.
Yeah, no, and so the final season tries to add gameplay to it for some reason. Like, there's like this weird sort of, I don't say dismemberment, like disarming system. So the main sort of aspects of this one is that Clementine is now an adult. You know, she's in her late teens, and she's having to take care of AJ, who is sort of introduced at the end of the second season as a baby. And so it sort of is coming full circle, right, to her. Now she has to kind of be a parent, but she's still young. Like, she's still a kid in many ways, and she's grown up in this world mostly.
She becomes a parent?
For the most part, yeah. You are the guardian figure to AJ. And AJ is like 5 or 6, I can't remember.
All right.
But he's young. He's very young. So at the end of the second season, you have to make these choices to where one of the characters, and it was one of the dumbest things, is where the big confliction point is this baby and what's going to happen to this baby, because the parents might not be there, and you have to make these choices. But no matter what, at the end of that game, the baby is alive, and you have now decided to basically be the parent, because you kind of have to be. So that's, again,
so no matter what, the baby's alive.
And that is AJ. And AJ is the central character, and it's kind of Clementine and AJ's story of how AJ is growing up. Because, again, he's growing up in this world that is completely foreign to him. And there's a lot of story moments and elements of, you know, should AJ be carrying a gun? He's like 6 or 7 years old, you know, but we're in a world where there's a ton of zombies. And so you come upon this school that is mainly run by kids, and they're all kids around your age. You know, they're teenagers, 15, 16, 17. And the main antagonist is this group of adults, basically. So you're sort of going to war with this other, whatever you call it, faction. And there's a lot of drama in there. There's a lot of drama to where certain people are doing things that you don't agree with. Certain people have made deals with other people that they're not being completely upfront about them, and where people have gone, why they've disappeared. And it's interesting. It's very interesting because, again, you have to, the drama is there, but you also are getting that parenting aspect again that you kind of got with Lee, but it's a little bit different. There's a lot of callbacks to Lee, and it does bring full circle sort of that relationship between Lee and Clementine, and how, even though he's been dead for a while now, like, she still remembers what he taught her, and it's crafted her. But then you have to make decisions based on, like, do you even agree with Lee? Like, he told you to do this, but do you agree with that? Because the circumstances are different now. And it's a lot better than the second season. That's what I'll say, is that.
Okay. All right.
Most of the time I was on board, and I had a confliction point that made sense to me of, I generally don't know what to do here, because I know what I would do, but at the same time, the circumstances that have gone on now, I don't know if I'd feel the same way. And that's, I think that's when these games are best, right? It's when it gives you choices that make sense for the story, but also make you have to think about it a little bit of just like, like what would I do in this situation? And it felt like I was sort of crafting that character in a weird way. I was crafting AJ. And so it gives that sense of I'm creating this character while also having my own confliction, which is basically why I think the first season worked a lot better than the second one.
What did you mean on they tried to add more gameplay? So
there's like the game starts out with it and to where like you're trying to scavenge for some stuff. And there's some walkers in front of you and you've got to sneak up on them and press the B button basically. And then every once in a while, there'll be like three or four walkers and you've got to take care of them without being eaten alive. And so you walk up to them and like the X button will disarm them, but the B button will kill them. But if you disarm them and then another one comes up to you, it'll kill you kind of thing. It's really dumb is what I'll say. It is the most loosest form of gameplay you could possibly imagine.
Jesus. I mean, is it at least failing? You keep going to another possible
straight fail point, which is the worst part.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah, see, that's the worst form of QTE in any
game. And a lot of times it's dumb. Like, it doesn't even make sense of what happens. Granted, those moments are few and far between, but they do happen. And every time they happen, I'm just kind of like, I get through it kind of thing and just move on with my life. Why that was added, like, it seems like it was a response to the direct criticism of, like, these games don't have any gameplay. It's like that the solution is to not feed into that energy. It's to simply do what you do best and keep doing that.
You're right. Either do what you do best or actually really dig deep into that kind of gameplay. I mean, it's crazy how we're this many years removed, but that original Shenmue, when it started doing QTEs, the fact that you can fail a string of those, but keep going, it had branching QTE moments and like, we're still here dealing with QTEs that are one and done.
Yeah,
like,
it's dumb.
It creates the most boring experience.
Well, and when you fail, sometimes it's like, okay, like that didn't make any sense. Like, they're not bad enough to where it's like, okay, like I don't even want to play this anymore. And again, they are few and far between, but it's adds absolutely nothing, and it wasn't necessary, basically. It's hard to go into without giving a complete breakdown of the whole game. But what I'll say is I was pretty much on board for most of it. Except like, man, it's the last episode kind of goes places in a way that I think is extremely weird. And one of the biggest problems I have, and this, I have it within the show too, is like when you need to sort of defile logic. And it's hard. There's a character in particular to where she's almost like hunting you in the last chapter. And she's introduced in, because it's only four chapters versus five. So she's, you kind of hear about her in the first two chapters. She shows up in the third one. And then by the last chapter, she's kind of hunting you, but she's not really a walking dead a walker at that point. She's sort of that in-between state, but that doesn't really exist in this universe. There isn't really a what do you want to call it? Like a super walker or whatever. Like there's no version in the lore of.
I mean, you're already throwing me off here because you can be in between for a while for longer than
apparently
because I remember playing as Lee and just. Slowly turning, not even slowly, like it was a quick turn by the end of
it. Yeah, it was the final chapter. By the start of it, you were starting to turn, and then by the end of it, you had turned basically.
Yeah, so does it feel like it's a longer turn for her? Or
it just doesn't make sense because she's like among the walkers in a little bit, and it's not like a situation where like she's controlling the walkers or anything, but it's like for some odd reason she can sort of. Be with the walkers and they don't try to kill her, but they kind of do. It's really weird and out of left field, and it doesn't break the game, but it's asking you to sort of defy logic. And I just don't think it really was necessary because the story that you care about in this game is AJ and Clementine. And the stuff around it is good, and it gets you towards the end. There's also like a weird like romance thing where you can kind of pick if you want to romance somebody or not, but it, I don't know. I always find romance in these games really weird.
Dude,
like,
I mean this with all sincerity, just craft a well-told right. story, make it an animated video thing, and I'll watch it. Like, I really will. Like, I don't need the full choices. I don't need the full gameplay. Just craft another well-told story, and I'll watch it, because you clearly have talent to tell a very good story.
Yeah, and it's...
Like, I really don't see the point of pressing X sometimes. Like, it doesn't do anything for me, especially when you have these choices that don't completely change the game, you know? Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It's the whole, like, you know, person will remember that kind of thing. Like I said, it's... The characters are good, I think. I think the drama here is good, but it's sometimes it's the stuff around it. Like, the romance choice, it just kind of seems to come out of nowhere. Like, I don't... You can choose to not romance anybody, and that's kind of what I went with, because it didn't feel genuine to me. And maybe somebody else will feel different about that. Hang on. I'm dying over here. It's like I got COVID again. Maybe somebody else will disagree and say that, like, they felt a connection with this character, but I don't know. To me, it felt like it was unnecessary, and it also felt kind of forced. And so those moments, again, they don't ruin it, but it holds it back. And by the end of the game, it starts calling back to that first Walking Dead in a way, and the end is you're either gonna love it or hate it kind of thing, because it sort of asks you to defy logic again, but at the same time, it's different than the sort of Terminator character that I described, of that's trying to hunt you down, and that it's asking you to defy logic in a way that might make sense. And it sort of directly conflicts with that end of that first season of choices that were made. And it kind of gives you a happy ending, even if you chose for it to not be. And that's interesting to me. And I'm, I wouldn't say I was choked up, because that's not the case. Like, the final sort of choice in the game, I was just like, okay, like, I was kind of surprised they went there with it. And then you kind of find out that they didn't, but they make you believe for about 10 minutes that they did. And so, when they sort of pull, you know, they open up the curtain, and you once again are like, okay, like, interesting. It's asking you to defy logic, but in a way that I feel like you could, for the sake of everyone getting a happy ending kind of thing. And not everyone gets a happy ending, but it ends up with a story that comes full circle, and you have to sort of just accept it and kind of close the chapter on it, you know, close the book and be okay with it. And I was surprised, because by the end of that second season, I was like, I do not care about Clementine. I do not care about this kid, like, whatever. But by the end of the third one, I was like, you know what? Like, I think they were smart, and they made a lot of callbacks to that first season, because I think that's the one that most people are going to remember. And the flashbacks and stuff with Lee and sort of calling back to Lee is smart, and it's done in a way that I like. A lot of the stuff around it, I could take or leave. You know, it gets you to the end of it, but I did find the main story compelling. And it was nice to kind of go back to it, because, it has been a very long time since that original Walking Dead. And even people that don't love it, that played it, they still remember it. And that says a lot. And it says a lot that you can call back to it 10 years later and people still, you know, are happy to sort of relive it, but recall it and create some new stories based off of it. So by the end.
And how many chapters are there in total?
Yeah.
Four. Of the four.
Or I'm sorry, there
are
three. There's three with Clementine.
But there's four total.
There's five total. If you include Michonne and
five total.
The 400 days one.
So of the five, are they all worth playing? Are they all necessary? And would you recommend playing all of them?
So I think you really only need to play Walking Dead season one. And like, I think you could only play season one, two, and the final and be fine. I don't think Michonne is a decent little spinoff thing. But the 400 days one, I could live without completely, even though the second season is not my favorite. It's sort of important to sort of learn some of the characters and some of the things that have happened and why some people feel the way that they do. But no, I think you could play that just 1, 2, and 3 and get the full story of everything that you need and be done with it. And I really do like season one is still the strongest. Season two is by far the weakest, but the final season is not perfect, but it, I was surprised how much I enjoyed it by the end of it. That's what I'll say. So, and it runs fairly well. I didn't really have too many crashes and stuff like that, that are kind of notorious for the Telltale engine and all that. And I have no idea if they touch this up or not for this version of it. Like I said, because there was all that drama that happened with Telltale on like closing all of a sudden and that game being delisted and a lot of weird stuff that happened with it. So it's all that being said, it's kind of amazing that this game even came out because of all that drama, and the writers on it clearly cared about it. They clearly wanted to tell the story that they did. And so for that reason, like it's a soft pass it on, but I am going to say pass on. I think if you played that original game and you know, it's been a long time and you're kind of curious of how it plays and you kind of want to relive that, I think this is more than worth playing. You're not going to agree with all of it. There's going to be a couple moments like, that was dumb. But I think that's just kind of, you have to sort of accept that. It's not a home run, but it's a solid triple. It's a solid triple.
I'm not mad at that. I'm not. I mean, 3 out of 5 is not a bad, record.
Yeah, and I've played a lot of these, and these style of games, and I've walked away from a lot of them a lot more, just kind of like that was a waste of time. So, yeah, right. That's gonna do it for this dual episode. When it comes to Chained Echoes, pass it on, play it, check it out. I think I'm gonna have to, because we're gonna be talking about that. I've got a whole year, right? So I got time. When it comes to Walking Dead, the final season, as well, pass it on. So we're starting off the year 3 for 3. Look at that. Are we going to surpass last year? Who knows? Because next time we're going to be talking about Serious Sam 4. That's what we've been playing. And there you go. You can write us 574-651-9256. That would be calling us, actually. Or I guess you could send a text message to that. gpopfans@gmail.com if you want to write us. Let us know what you like, don't like. Phone number is the easiest, though, because it comes straight to us. And, you know, leave us a voicemail. Let us know. If you think that Chained Echoes is the best game ever made, I want to know why. But all right, that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with Serious Sam 4.
Good day, sirs.